B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Scrambled for the puck. 2 seconds left. Coyle's got it, and the horn is going to sound. Can you smell that? Can you smell it? It's a game seven. The Boston Bruins have come on the road, won for the second time in 3 games at the Scotiabank Arena. Your final here today, 4-2 Bruins over the Maple Leafs. And for the third time since 2013, these two teams are going to play a game seven, and it's going to take place at TD Garden.
What does that smell like? Hopefully it doesn't smell like ass. Which I'm telling you, I'm worried as a Bruins fan.
How can you not be?
I'm not confident.
Hopefully it doesn't smell like someone just crapped their pants.
I have a feeling it's going to smell like a stale fart. Confidence level 1 to 10 in the Bruins tomorrow night.
Oof.
I'm at a 4.5.
I'm at 5.
6.5.
Ooh, three.
That's high for you.
Look at you, Mr. Optimism. You been smoking?
No, I just think like history looms large over the Maple Leafs. And I know everything's upside down now, especially in the world of sports, but I have to at my core still believe that loserdom, that thing hovers over that franchise as one of the great losers in all of sports, and it catches up with them again tomorrow night. And, you know, people I sometimes think forget, like, unless they are really paid attention, the Bruins were down going into the third period last year in Game 7 of this stupid team.
I think they were down 3 different times. Didn't they have to come back from 1-0, 2-1, 3-2?
Probably.
And then it was 4-3 in the third. I think they came back from 3 or 4 different deficits in that game because Rask turned into a freaking turnstile.
Can you imagine what we'd be saying if we were doing radio in Toronto today? Oh, they're going to blow it again. They crapped their pants. They blew their chance.
They're doing the same thing, but worse. It's no question.
Oh, they're terrified up there because of the history of that team. They are. They're terrified. And they're all here in the garbage, and Babcock knows it. I mean, you know, we like each other. He's giving you all these speeches about how they'll fight for each other, and, you know, we just got to win one game. He knows. That uniform's cursed. It is. It is cursed.
Jimmy, give me Babcock on Game 7 and going into Game 7 post-game yesterday, please.
Coach, going into Tuesday, are there any lessons from last year that you want to carry with you from Game 7, or do you prefer going in next slate, new team?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big believer in living in the past. You know, I don't carry a lot of stuff around from the past at all. The bottom line is we got a one-game series against these guys, and we like each other. We like our group. We like hanging around together. We want to be together. And the only way you get to be together is if you play good and execute and win. So we got a good group that enjoys being together and plans on having a good run. And in order to do that, we got to go into Boston and win a game.
I'm not sure if he's Canadian or not.
We like each other. We go over to Tim's and get a double-double and some Timbits.
Against.
It's hard to place the accent. But so, look, they have all that institutional chokerdom around their necks, and I think that's one of the things you have going for you. I said earlier, you can win, you should win. Well, and I'm saying you should win. I think Toronto's been the better team. I think Toronto's been the better 5-on-5 team. They have been. The games you've won, you've gotten up on the power play, and you've gone to victory based on that. 5-on-5, they've gotten the better of you. And that's using your eyes, and that's looking at most of the stats. So I think you can win, but my sense is it's going to be because Frederik Andersen finally just runs out. You know, the clock hits midnight and turns into a pumpkin. Or they just tighten up there. They don't quite know how to win yet. And all that collective pressure is on them. And either they crap themselves or the goalie just runs out of steam. And that's how you... Or a lucky break or two.
I'll tell you, I feel like he's been good in this series.
He's been great.
I don't see many, you know... I'm trying to remember goals that he shouldn't have allowed. And even when yesterday the Martian goal got deflected off a shin pad.
Yes, there's nothing to do
with
that.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't put that one on him. I think he's getting a little too much love with his glove.
It was the same thing in the series last year. There's an extra snap there where he sells it. Just be like, ooh.
And some of those are going wide.
Like, oh, yeah, no, there was the second one yesterday. Like, all right, buddy, it wasn't even really near the net. Like, ooh, snap, got it.
I mean, that was going to miss the net by 3 feet, for crying out loud. He's going to get credit on that.
Okay, the Bergeron one was going in the net.
Yeah, no. The Bergeron one was a good save.
He mishit it, but still.
Yeah, no. That was a good save. It was the one right after that.
Yes.
I mean, I was going to miss the net by 3 feet. Like, it wasn't even close. And, you know, and again, and the Krug goal, I mean, that thing was a rocket in the corner. That was a great shot. But Anderson's not giving any away. He's not cracking.
Rask has been good, too.
Yep.
I thought Rask was really good yesterday. You should be confident in him. He's playing well. Feels like he's confident. You know, there's been only a couple moments this entire series where you said, come on, man. And usually I feel like I'm doing that more than I've done this series. It's really been only a couple of occasions. And so you should feel good about the goaltending's not really on my list. It's just sort of the fact you've gotten outplayed 5-on-5.
I felt like he got straight up hosed by his teammates on Friday night. Rask was excellent.
No question.
He did. He in the early part of that game, he was bailing them out. They were leaning on him heavily in that game. And it's like, you know, it was one of those where he said, okay, you're keeping a minute. The only reason it was 0-0 late was because of him.
Here's a guy. I've got to see Pastrnak get his head out of his ass. I don't know what has gotten into that guy. I think he has sucked. He was frustrating yesterday. He sucked on Friday. He wasn't good to start the series. Cassidy even, you know, called him out after game one. So I don't know what's up with this guy. I don't want to blame the hand because he had games down the stretch. He came back in the regular season, had a hat trick one night. I mean, I don't tell me it's the hand that he's turning the pucks over left and right with stupid passes. It's not like he's losing the handle. He's just, you know, he's just careless with the puck, and he oddly won't shoot. That thing in the third period yesterday where there's this turnover, the puck is coughed up right into the slot, right to Pastrnak, all alone in front of Frederik Andersen.
I mean, he was like 10, 15 feet from the net.
It was all alone, him and Andersen. And
he was right there.
They're up. It's a 4-3 game at that point. And he dinks around and then tries to pass it. And it gets caught under his pad, and he didn't even really get a shot attempt off out of it. He was all alone in front of, would you drop your head and bury the puck and fire the thing, for God's sakes. So that's one player that just stood out to me on the negative side. I don't know where Pastrnak has been. But either way, here we go again. Game 7 tomorrow night. We'll have you covered, of course, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm going to puke if they have too many more of these. Yesterday, I was close yesterday. That was excruciating.
They're not fun. It's really not fun. I don't enjoy it. Jay in Pembroke. Go ahead, Jay.
Guys, how's it going?
It's okay. What do you got, Jay?
I'd just like to say, first of all, I think it's going to smell real sweet tomorrow night, and I'd like to tell you why. First of all, I think Friday's game was an absolute pathetic game. It was the worst game in the series, and the Bruins should be ashamed how they played that game Friday night. And you know, I like to say that I think that was a turning point. I felt like going into game 6 tomorrow in Toronto, I felt like, you know, with the back against the walls and the stinker they put on Friday night at home, I felt they would play a lot better yesterday.
And they did. I'm just going to cut you off. I don't feel like there's been a turning point in the series. You thought game 2, the way they came out in game 2. All right, they figured out the level they have to reach. They've reached that level. Now they understand what they need to do going forward. And they didn't. Their play backslid right away. Then they lose game 3, come back game 4, score a couple early on the power play. But they still got outplayed in game 4. I think Toronto got the better of the play, certainly the 5-on-5 play in game 4. So it's not like that carried over. Then they absolutely sucked eggs in game 5. What happened in game 6? They scored on the power play early. So they've only had one sort of turning point kind of game where they were just different as a team, and that was game 2. The next two wins were on the power play. So I don't know. That's another reason why I don't have a tremendous amount of confidence.
Yeah, no, and again, I don't know that you could on either side. Toronto's had an edge in play. They have. But at the end of the day, what does that matter? Like,
it doesn't.
I think, you know, to me, the thing that I find most alarming about the series is I feel like the Bruins have been chasing the whole time. They've never had a lead in this series. Never. At best, they've been tied. The series has been tied now. If you count 0-0, the series has been tied. This is the fourth time. The last three, the Leafs won the next game. So, like, you know, the Bruins are chasing always. Always. It drives me crazy.
I'm even trying to think, in games 3 and 5, did the Bruins even have a lead?
Well, game 5, they didn't.
Sure, obviously not.
So I'll check game 3.
I can't remember game 3. They were up 1-0 in game 1. Okay? The Bergeron scored on the power play in game 1. I can't remember how game 3 went, who scored the first goal. But that might have been it. That Bergeron power play goal in the first period of game 1 might have been their one, quote-unquote, lead in the series.
They never let in game 3.
So, I mean, other than that, they've been behind in games, or if they've been tied in games, they've been behind on the scoreboard.
So after the first goal of the series,
they've
Toronto
been behind the whole time.
They've been behind the rest of the series. That's right.
Nick in Connecticut. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, guys. So I hear you're all pretty iffy about the Bruins for Game 7, and I'm right with you. I mean, this Maple Leafs team is different from last year's team, I think. I think they're totally elite. Everywhere you look, they got a star player. But I think the key to winning the series, and it is possible, I think we got to shut down Matthews. He's been a scoring machine this series. I don't know if you guys agree.
Oh, my God. But, he's on fire. Yes.
He's a stud, right? He's incredible. So, yeah, shut him down. Tukarask, stay. Keep doing what you're doing. He's awesome. And, Maz, I agree with you that I do not like trailing to this team. We have not led the series at all. You guys are right there.
Okay.
I'm not comfortable with that.
All right, let me just stop you on Matthews. On the goal he scored, so that was I had a half quibble with Rask yesterday. I thought he overcommitted on that Matthews goal, and Matthews has got an insane shot. Still, in this day and age, you really unobstructed, untipped, you shouldn't be allowing goals from there. So Rask, Rask overcommitted on the angle. That being said, the defense let him hang out there.
I mean, to me, that play drove me crazy because, again, if you remember, the puck spilled over to the faceoff circle on the right-wing side. Krug and Carlo were both there, and neither one of them went after it. The Leafs regained possession of the puck, passed it back out to the point, back into Matthews, and he rifled it off the post. And I just think the Bruins got passive. There was a miscommunication there or something. I thought, how do you just let that puck go? Neither one of them went after it. You know, and it wasn't apples to apples, the play where Krug watched Moore on the goal mouth there in game two, yeah, or whatever it was. But like a similar kind of thing, or maybe it was game one. Like it just, there are times where in their own zone, it looks like the Bruins start standing around. And it just drives you bananas. Bananas.
Charlie in the car on the Celtics. Yes, Charlie.
Yeah, Felga, I just got to point out something on the Celtics, man. I think that Smart going down is the best thing that ever happened to this team. And without him around, it's Kyrie's team. And one other thing, I just want to point out that Felga said the Sox would have been done. Take a bow. You had that one right. Even Marijuana Murray over there was saying the same thing.
Marijuana Jim Murray. The thing on Marcus Smart. I don't think it's specifically Smart. I think whenever there's guys out, they're better off. The decisions are made for Stevens. He doesn't have to...
Yeah, the rotations get tighter.
Yes, and he doesn't have to worry about pissing people off or taking away minutes or making everybody happy. When there's fewer mouths to feed, the whole thing works better. We talk about how they are without Kyrie. I think you could make the case for them being without anybody. You know, and a guy like Baines doesn't really count, but, you know, shooters, guys who want to shoot. And Marcus Smart, unfortunately, wants to shoot.
That's the problem.
When they have guys, the guys that want to shoot, as soon as they lose one of those guys, it doesn't matter who it is, I feel like they're better off.
I mean, someone that I would consider a hardcore Celtics fan, a friend of mine, said the same thing to me over the weekend, and it hadn't occurred to me that what if they're better with Smart off the floor? And if you think of them offensively, at the end of the game now, if Jaylen Brown's playing defense and he's playing like he did in game three, Brown, Hayward, Horford, Kyrie, who am I leaving out?
Tatum.
I mean, you're the other team. Who do you defend? Like, where do you go there? Like, if they can get some defense out of some of those guys that are inconsistent at it, that group at the end of the floor could be scary good.
We come back with more of your thoughts on a Reentry Monday right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass. CA5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the Bruins batted up the near side and out. Might have a 2-on-1. Krejci to DeBrusk over the line right side. It's 2-on-2. Krejci right circle. Centers to Plunk. They score! Jake DeBrusk able to win his battle. Charger to the front of the net. Got the stick down and deflects it home. Bruins 3, Leafs 1.
Do you have any thoughts on why the guys weren't ready, to think, or weren't up to the
test? Well, no, I don't think that's what I said at all. So I'm going to do that one more time. I thought we were really ready. We were jumping big time. But then as soon as we had a little adversity and then they scored twice, we didn't recover. I don't know if that's the emotions got the better of us or we couldn't get her back in check. But to say we weren't ready, that'd be totally wrong. We started really well. We played really well. And then, boom, once they scored, we didn't recover very good. So... you know, we talked about it and prepared for it, but it didn't happen for us.
So that I could see happening. The Leafs face some adversity and don't recover because they just don't know how to win, or young, or pressure, or whatever. That's a path for the Bruins. And that, I will say, yesterday was the best sustained stretch that they'd played, other than just the abject frenzy of game two. You know, yesterday was Ent and Cassidy sort of talked about it too, about that's the closest to their ceiling they've gotten, other than what is really sort of an aberration, the way they came out in game two. And that Krejci to DeBrusk goal was beautiful, Cap.
Oh, that was awesome. I mean, really, all the way around too. And to me, that's when DeBrusk is at his best, is like putting his head down and drive into the net and just not getting denied, because Krejci will find a way to get the puck there. And he's done it over and over and over again in his career. But DeBrusk, to me, like, is sticking his nose down there and getting in there and deflecting that. That to me, is DeBrusk. That was his best game since game two.
And it's a positive sign because they need him, because he hasn't been there since game two. Meaning he's been there in body, but not really in production. So there's another thing on the list. We continue with your thoughts. Frank the Tank, how you feeling? How you feeling about tomorrow?
Well, look, as a pure hockey fan, I have to be honest. I think Toronto is going to win. If you're looking at it as just from a hockey standpoint, I think Toronto's going to win. They've been the better team all series. And even in individual games, even other than game two, they've pretty much been the better team. As a Bruins fan, obviously, I want my team to win. I think they're going to win. And Maz, you hit it right on the head. It's not just DeBrusk who's got to do that. Everybody's got to do that. You got to start making these guys play on their heels. You got to attack what their weakness has been all season long. Muzzin is not the second coming of Larry Robinson. You've got to punish this guy whenever you get the chance. And also on Matthews, is anybody going to hit him in the mouth? Is anybody going to hit him and knock him on his ass when he gets the puck? Because that kid will turtle if you stop playing him physically that way.
You know what, Frank? It's such a good point.
It is.
And I know your bloodlust. I know you want to see him hurt. How about just stay on him? I mean, yes, Rask, you know, probably could have had that shot last night. Can you get someone within 5 feet of Austin Matthews out there with the way he's going right now?
I mean, that the thing is to me is he's flying around out there too. You see him get the puck and he's, you know, zipping down the wing and going behind the net and circling around. And it's like they're all afraid to go there. So I know he's fast, but the way to slow him down is to get in his way and make him fight for the puck. I just don't know that Matthews is a battler. I don't know that I would call him a battler. So he can shoot the crap out of it, man. Boy, Kenny, he's been a factor. But part of me wonders, like, can he alone beat you? Like, I don't know. I wonder if this is part of the reason that...
Well, they're all setups. It's like he's creating his own situation.
Exactly.
You know, he's not driving the net. He's not creating room. He's just left alone and burying the thing.
Exactly. Now, the one yesterday, he rang it off the post, but the one in game five... I mean, I could have scored that goal. He had 2/3 of the net to shoot at. He was wide open. Like, you know, so, but to me, the trick is to make him play in traffic.
Pat, in the car here on a reentry Monday on the Celts and Kyrie Irving, what do you think?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Hey, so my prediction, Celtics in 7. I know you guys are probably opposed to that, but also he needs to be quiet. Like, all of his blabber and whatnot and post-game and everything, and it also had me thinking, too. Murray, you think Jim Gray and Kyrie would be pretty good friends?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Well, because they can't shut up.
Oh,
my God. They've got an opinion about everything.
Those two.
Kyrie, Tom. I know Kyrie. Kyrie knows Tom. Tom knows my wife. Now, my thing was that the thing that stood out to me in this mostly useless series, and guys have looked better. Tatum looks like playoff Tatum from last year. Brown was great on Monday night. Hayward great late yesterday. But Kyrie, after game 3 on Friday night, saying, I told those guys, And I told those guys, man, this next one's going to be tough. These closeout games. Yeah, I know. They did it without you last year in two series. They almost did it another time in Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals where you were busy getting a nose job because you couldn't even wait around because you had to do your stupid movie press nonsense. We get it, Kyrie. We don't know. We don't need to know what you think about a closeout game. We've closed out series before.
I think he also said, they were saying the midday, I haven't heard the quote, but the midday show was saying he also said something along the lines, it was good to see that these guys know what it's like to sweep somebody now. But he's just so condescending.
Oh, he totally is. No, he's seen it all and done it all. Although I heard a stat on him today that I did not know, that among NBA players with at least 50 career playoff games, he has the highest winning percentage of all time. All time.
Okay. Aren't all of them next to LeBron?
Yeah, most of them, except for these four.
So up until this four, it was the exact same record as LeBron.
I'm guessing.
Well, no, I mean, LeBron's time in Cleveland is what I got. You know, there was pre-Kyrie that LeBron's weighed down by.
Yeah.
But any playoff game he had played was next to LeBron James.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what was J.R. Smith's playoff record with LeBron James in Cleveland? It was probably exactly the same.
Tristan Thompson.
It was exactly
like
the same.
True. I just like the stats.
Little misleading. Little misleading.
Yes.
Because I'll give you a collection of crap in Cleveland that had the exact same record in the playoffs as Kyrie Irving over that time.
Kyle Korver.
My point exactly. Thank you. Bob and West.
Tristan Thompson.
Bob and Westwood for Maz on the Red Sox. Yes, Robert.
Hey, what's going on? Maz.
Yeah, Bob.
You are not willing to sell the Sox out yet, but yet you wouldn't hop on last year in 2013 when they were rolling, and this year you're like, oh, they'll be fine. They'll be good. They'll be fine. Are you kidding me? They suck right now.
Well, they just won three in a row, Bob.
You didn't hop on until late August, Maz.
Later. It
Probably
was later.
September.
Yeah, it was later than that. I needed to see them win in October, and they did.
Both times they did. And that now that they completely suck, when they were great earlier, you were like, no, I got to see it. I got to see it. And now you're like, oh, no, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Are you kidding me?
So, Bob, there is a pattern here, and the pattern is that you always overreact no matter what happens. You, the fan, you always overreact. So they win 108 games, and you think that guarantees they're going to win in October, and it doesn't. And then you think that the world is ending when they get off to a bad start and that the season's going to be over on April 15th, and it's not because the season's too long. So that's the message. I'm actually consistent. I just do it to piss you off.
I just love it, Murray, that Red Sox fans are still angry at Maz, and he's the one supporting them.
Right. They got it right, though.
He can't win.
No, really. Again, like now they suck, and I say that.
You're not being negative enough.
Right. Now it's the opposite. I can't. I can't win, Mari.
Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. As a casual observer of hockey, I'm glad that the Bruins pulled it off yesterday, but when I was watching, it never felt to me that they had control of the game, and I felt that Toronto had more shots on our net than we did in the reverse. I'm not sure if that's true, but I just felt that Toronto was faster. I don't know if our guys are older. They just seem gassed. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but I'm not confident about tomorrow.
Okay, I'm not confident either. I think, Mary, yesterday was actually one of the few games, 5-on-5, I thought the Bruins did control. And the portion, and Babcock said it, the portion right from the Marchand's first power play goal through Krejci's setup of DeBrus there at the end of the second, the Bruins controlled. They did. And they controlled it 5-on-5, not just power play goals. And it's one of the few times I thought they did control pace of play. Other than that, I think they've been getting, Toronto skating circles around them because they are faster and they are quicker. And there's something about the matchups that I think Toronto's just played keep away against you because you can't catch them. And if that's a game it's going to be tomorrow, I don't love your chances. Now, if the Bruins can make it more like yesterday, a little bit more of a, lack of a better term, half court game, then they're okay. But it's just been that's been the only stretch of the whole series I've seen them be able to do that. Here's Murray's update. We're back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kyrie, right-hand dribble, goes past the bonus, hangs in the air. Tough ball away from the baseline is good.
He knew that play. ISO one-on-one. Saw a big line out there. You can't guard me.
I told these guys as soon as we got in the locker room, the hardest game in the series is to close out game, especially on the road. You know, obviously, we know what's at stake. We know the amount of pressure that they're putting on themselves, and we know the amount of pressure we're going to put on ourselves to play great. And that's just the reality of it. And you just got to be ready for the runs that they'll throw at us, the intensity, make sure they're picking up the basketball, being very aggressive. We just got to match it. We just got to be able to answer those calls, and we'll be okay.
Now, Kyrie. I told those guys the closeout game's the toughest game.
Especially on the road. So that part, okay, fine, because they hadn't done that. They hadn't closed out a series on the road, so fine.
Did they need to be told?
No, they don't need to be talked to like children by dad, who's, you know, treated the, oh, here comes dad again, this whole season. I got to tell these guys. Well, what I told these guys, how do I reach these kids? This is why he called LeBron midseason. When he really, you know, had that whole thing going on where it's like, this guy is really just an insufferable pain in the ass off the floor. Love him. Hope he stays. Hope they can convince him to stay. But off the floor, boy, is he a giant pain in the ass. And I don't even know if he's, like, meaning to do it. This is just what comes naturally for him. Like, boy, I gathered the guys up. And I told them, it's nothing tougher than a closeout game, especially on the road. But, yeah, nothing tougher than a closeout game because they don't know. No, they did it without you last year. They did it without you twice. They did it against Milwaukee. They closed them out, and then they closed out the Sixers in very quick fashion. That was a great series for them last year. Hell, they almost did it in the Eastern Conference Finals in Game 7 at home last year when you were away getting a nose job for your stupid movie junket for that suckbag movie. They know how to do it, Kyrie. Stop talking to your teammates like they're the children.
So condescending.
Oh, he does fancy himself as the Dalai Lama, doesn't he? Like talking to his teammates, my sons, the opponent is most dangerous when most desperate.
You can't convince me that after some of these wins, they're in that locker room, like, you know, dapping it up, high-fiving each other. Yeah, guys, gather around. Oh, Jesus, here we go. Yeah, what's up, Dad? So this next one, fellas, you know, it's the closeout games we know. We know, kind of, it's like, you know, I made a South Park reference talking to the Celtics show on Saturday when Cartman, who's the best character of the show, would try to shut up his girlfriend by treating her like Alexa. Like, Wendy, silence. Wendy, it's like Jaylen Brown, Kyrie, silence. Kyrie, silence. Like, treat it like Alexa. I'm sure some of them want to. Like, oh my God, just shut up. Shut up. I'll see you in the next game. We get it. We've closed out series. I told these guys. All right, Dad. We get it.
We'll see if it comes out, because we'll see if they face a little adversity, you know, against Milwaukee, and if it compounds itself like it did in the regular season.
I mean, and they will face adversity against Milwaukee, right? The Bucks are going to come out sky high in game one. And so somewhere in there, the Bucks are going to make a huge run, game one, game two, whatever, and then we'll find out. We'll see how much the Celtics have really grown.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on everything, including the Red Sox, Wayne in Yarmouth for Maz. Go ahead, Wayne.
Maz, first of all, I loved your projection of the 108 losses last week. And, you know, now they've cut that down to 96. So it's a start. My question is, what do you guys think of this 2-4-inning pitching plan that the Tampa uses? And how could that work for the Sox, possibly?
Okay. A lot of teams have started to do it. It does work. I've seen it work. You know, they do it. The Brewers do it in playoff games. Did Oakland do it in playoff games last year?
I don't remember.
I know, but the Brewers definitely did it in a couple playoff games, which is just ridiculous when you think about it. But
yeah, Oakland definitely did it in one of those.
Yeah, I think they did. It's just sort of the wave, man. It's, you know, there's nerds in there when they break down every matchup with every sort of launch angle and release point and spin rate, and they match them all up, and it's basically just the nerds playing each other. But those bullpen games are one group of nerds versus the other group of nerds. It's all that is. And it sometimes works.
Yeah, look, again, the Friday night was the game that the Rays went with the opener, right? And, you know, they got behind early in that when they came back. And I just think as a hitter, it's hard to face a different pitcher every time you come up. It's like, now you got to start over again, right? Now I got to start over again. And not only that, it allows the manager to match up and say, okay, at this stage of the lineup, I'm bringing in this guy because he's going to see two righties or two lefties. And so you can sort of pick it as you go along here when you're the other team. I hate the practice because I think it ruins the game.
Well, it's just overmanaged and overmanaged, whether it's the manager doing it or some dork. Someone's managing it. It's just, my God, can we line up and play the freaking game already?
And look, it wasn't the opener per se, but I thought Cash blew the game for him yesterday. You got a guy on the mound there throwing bullets. He'd given up, what, one hit, I think, before Mookie Betts had singled to right field to start that inning. They had one out and a man on first in a game they were leading. And he took him out with 73 pitches. He went to his bullpen, and they started puking all over each other. And Bogaerts hits a two-run single, and now they're down. After loading the bases on walks, basically. Like, to me, that was, boy, talk about not having... And Glasnow's on the bench there losing his mind, swearing in his shirt the whole time. And I don't blame him. 73 pitches, let him go.
Third turn through. That's another modern nerd thing.
Wow.
You don't go a third turn through. Mike in the truck on the Bees. Yes, Michael.
Yeah, I just wanted to put a little more emphasis on the play at Charlie Coyle, Mike. I think you said he's been a representative third-line guy. I think he's been playing excellent. I think he's one of the only players on the Bruins. It seems like he's got a fire under his ass every time he goes out on the ice.
I think he's been consistent. I think, I don't want to go too far. Does he have two goals? One goal?
Two goals, I think.
You know, I mean, it's not like he's lit the thing on fire, but he gets a ton of minutes. And he's out there in every situation. He's got two goals and an assist. So 3 points in six games. And I, like, you know, put the guy in the Hall of Fame or something. But he's been an even player. He's half a point a game, and he's out there in every situation. He's out there in most situations. I don't know if he's got much shorthanded time. I got to have to think about that. But he, if that's your third center, you're in decent shape. And I think all their centers have been good. But Bergeron's fallen off a little bit with his minutes and his play, and there's something, we think there's probably something there with him physically. But Krejci's continued his strong regular season play into the playoffs, and Coyle's been more than good enough as your third-line center.
I mean, I think Coyle, to me, the thing that stands out is he wins battles. He wins fights for the puck. And I think he's been good. Again, 3 points is 3 points, but I feel confident in him when he's on the ice.
We have got Nate in the car on the Bruins. Hi, Nate.
Hey, how's it going? I want to get your take on Brad Marchand's comments. It was on CBSSports.com about how the ice conditions are pretty bad at TD Garden, and also how it's like if you had a tennis ball out there, it'd be bouncing around because I guess the ice is pretty bad. Is that going to have an effect on Game 7?
Yes, and it's probably bad. It's probably right, and him complaining about it isn't a great look.
I hated it. Why? I hate it because it's a built-in excuse now. And granted, I get it. The Maple Leafs have to play there too, but... You know, this is just going to be the go-to if they happen to lose. It's a bad bounce or one trickles past Rask. Well, the ice sucked. And no, just keep that to yourself or talk to management so that they can maybe do something about it or crank the AC for 24 straight hours. I don't know. I just hated that he put that out there.
Yeah, I don't think it's an excuse because, again, the Leafs have to play. I think he's right. I think the ice is garbage. Go back to game one. Like, and I don't know whether it helps the Bruins or hurts them. Like, you could argue it helps them. Right?
Yeah, sure. That, yes, it's a more of a pond game. Well, I don't know if that's exactly right, but...
In theory, it slows the game down a little.
Does it slow Toronto down a little bit because they have to go back and retrieve pucks that are bouncing around all over the place?
Right. And at the same time, I guess you could say, well, Toronto's more skilled, so if there's anyone capable of handling a bouncing puck, it's more them than you, I guess. I don't know. I think that could go either way, but...
I would figure the choppier the game, the better it is for you.
So that's sort of what I think, but again, games one and game five... The Bruins couldn't complete a pass. Now, the puck is, it's bouncing all over the place. You can see it. Friday night, it was like that, too. I think the ice there is garbage. It is. It's garbage.
We've got Frank in New Jersey. What are your thoughts on the Bruins?
Hey, you know, I'm seeing a half-full glass here and not buying into the hole that we've been outplayed five out of the six games. Game two, we smoke them. Game four, we're up 5-2 in a third win. Game six, up 3-1 in the third win. Game five, I'm putting that on Cassidy. He decides to yank the speed out of the lineup and Coleman and Norty and leave Backes and a hobbled Wagner in there. I'm thinking definitely interference on that, but they didn't call it. That's not surprising. Had it been the other way, no way they're allowing the Bruins to get a goal.
Stop it. How can you say that?
Because there was significant, he hit him. He couldn't get to the spot. But what he had made to save, I don't know.
Well, no, but I mean, what's the difference of what team would have gotten, what do you think, the league's in the pocket of Toronto or something?
Absolutely.
Why?
What do you mean? Did Harry Sinden, the death taxes in Montreal's getting first power play?
Yeah, that's Montreal. This is Toronto. Would you please with this?
Oh, you big baby. Like, again, I expect this kind of crap from Patriots fans. Like, the league's out to get you because, what, the video reviews in Toronto, that the deal? And, look, I'm open to any conspiracy theory, but there's no way they would have called it one way for one team and one way for another. My guess is they got to that stage of the game on that play and said 0-0 game, two-thirds of the net was open and the contact wasn't that bad. We're letting that goal go. We're not calling that back.
It was the right call. Scott in Northbridge, what do you got, Scott, on the Bees?
Hey, we saw the Scotland report about their stretch play, and they exposed us in game one. Does that give them an excuse to abandon their forecheck for the rest of the series? I mean, game two was a chip on their shoulder. I really don't think they had that great of a forecheck game. They were just pissed off that they had such a lousy showing in game one.
Yeah.
But their forecheck is gone. It's just gone. And we know, yep, they have a stretch pass. You can get exposed by it, but you expose them by crashing the net, putting the bodies down there, forcing their D to collapse into the circles, and then they fall apart. And that's where our opportunities come
Scott,
from. And it, yes.
Yeah, it's a nice point that they're so petrified of the stretch pass that they're not attacking and they're staying back. And maybe you're right. But what do you think tomorrow? They're going to be going guns blazing, two guys up the ice on a two-man forecheck and exposing themselves to breakaways in game seven? No way. No way.
I mean, to me, that's a tough one.
Tomorrow is going to be a tight sphincter test like you read about. They are not. If you think they're going to open it back up tomorrow and start sending two forecheckers with like reckless abandon, you are sorely mistaken, man.
So I think the Bruins need their defensemen in the offensive zone more than the Leafs do because the Leafs forwards are better.
Agreed.
So this is where the challenge comes in for the Bruins. You want them pinching? You want them creating offense?
No. I do, but they won't.
I mean, because the Leafs will, man. They just station a guy out at that blue line and wait. Like, it feels like he's out there waiting for the pass. And they did it a couple times yesterday that the Bruins are relatively ready for.
Okay, more Bruins talk coming on the off-air show. Myself and Billy Lanny, this is what we're going to do. Billy and Lanny and I are going to do the off-air show right at 6, Facebook Live and Twitch. We're first going to do a caller tutorial because Billy Lanny's our director of communications. He's on the front line of the calls. And, well, Billy has some suggestions for you folks. We're going to do a caller tutorial.
Oh, I like it.
With Billy Lanny.
You put it on YouTube.
Okay, and maybe we'll record it and put it on YouTube so you all can reference it. Things like hold it like a pizza, things of this nature. But Billy's really on the front lines of all this.
He has a disdain for many of the callers.
So, yes, he's got a love-hate, mostly the second thing.
Mostly hate.
With most of the callers, exactly right. So Billy's going to give you his thoughts on you people.
Oh, I love it. It's like, you know, you can Google, how to change an electrical outlet. You're going to get how to call the Felger and Mass show.
Right.
I love it.
Caller etiquette.
And if you want to follow up on some Bruins thoughts, you can as well. That's Facebook Live, 6 o'clock sharp. Myself and Billy Lanny brought to you by our friends at Ace Ticket. That's at 6. Next is the final word.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services nobody beats. Town Fair Tire, nobody. All right, so today we kicked off the Felger and Maz Big Board for 2019.
This needs some work.
As the NFL draft is coming on Thursday evening from Nashville, Tennessee.
This was a mess.
Brought to you by the Peterson School, the Felger and Maz Big Board. So here's all of today's picks.
Can I just show real quick?
Please, yes.
What this board looks like after today. Murray brought in you'll hear it here in the clip.
Yeah.
Murray brought in a wrist rocket and just made a hellacious mess. Look at you could...
That's art.
I was going to say.
It's like is it Jackson Pollock? Was that the painting?
Yeah, like Blue Man Group.
That's $10,000 right there on eBay. Yeah.
I would say it looks like high velocity blood spatter. Like an episode of CSI for crying out loud.
Go ahead.
All right. So here's a recap of all of today's picks.
Actually, no, it's not, Murray.
Oh, it's not? What is it?
No, this is the 2017 where we all missed it.
Oh.
This is way funnier. I spit out my green tea when I wasn't even drinking any Portnoy.
We've hit on six or 7 years. We've gotten you at least one name. The 1 year that we didn't hit was, what year was it, Jimmy?
2017.
And this is what it sounded like.
Okay, here we go.
Whole point here, folks, is that pre-draft talk is some of the dumbest sports talk I've ever been a part of, because no one knows anything.
The board knows.
Ow! Cam Robinson, Alabama.
Yeah, he's the best offensive lineman in the draft.
William Holden. Zach Banner. Dorian Johnson. Dan Feeney from Indiana. Pat Elflein. Well, he went to Ohio State.
That's right in between two of them.
Jake Butt.
Yeah!
Yeah! Eric Saubert.
There we go.
Blake Jarwin. Jalen Robinette. Not Robin, Robinette.
Yeah.
Jamari Staples.
Yeah.
Rodney Adams, South Florida.
Ow, oh, hi, Jesus. He missed.
You defiled the board. Matthew Dayes.
How do you spell that?
D-A-Y-E-S.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oy. Tareen Folston.
I like him.
Hummet. Kareem Hunt.
Oh. Wow.
Isaac Rochelle. Ah. Larry Ogunjobi.
Oh, bastard.
You left a mark on my sweater vest.
I'm sorry. Jeez, and now you put another hole in it.
Stevie Tuikalovatata. Stevie Tuikalikatova.
Ah.
Tackarist. Tackarist McKinley. Tackarist. Tackarist McKinley. Ryan Anderson from Alabama.
Oh!
Jordan Willis.
Ah!
Vince Beagle. Carol Phillips Jr. Riley Bullock. Riley Bullock. Condre Tankersley. Condria? Cordera.
Oh, there we go. That was a money ball.
Damonte Kazee.
Love him.
Marquez with a Z, White. C.J. Bethard. Gerard Evans.
Boom!
Sefu Liufu. Sefu Liofau. Sefu Liufeo.
Boom!
Austin Rikau.
Cow.
Austin Rikau, he's from Idaho. The Felger and Maz board is now complete. The big board is full.
Snows in Idaho, though. That's because he's a cold weather kicker.
I wish they actually got C.J. Beathard. Have your quarterback of the future. Now he's the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers.
Backup.
Okay, we got some names on the board earlier. We'll give you the full reaccounting tomorrow, where we'll be at the Garden to do some more marker tossing, but get your game ready for Bruins-Leafs Game 7, most importantly. Coming up now is the Baseball Reporters. Yes, Maz?
Yeah, as usual, Red Sox fans missed the story. Now they're all celebrating, so we'll tell you what the fallout from the weekend really is, and we'll get to some of the particulars in the series over the weekend. Red Sox have a new guy on the roster, a notable injury, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to go through the whole Rays series over the weekend here.
Okay, we've got that. We've got the Felger-Maz off-air show, myself and Lanny, and the caller tutorial right now. Brought to you by Ace Ticket. We'll talk to you online. Listen to Maz on the radio, and we're all back at it tomorrow at 2. Talk to you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.